You can tell people you're one thing, but you've also got to make sure you live to those values. You know, anyone can write on the walls, we stand for this, this, and this. You've got to show it and live it and breathe it. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Contenting Business Podcast. To create the business you've always dreamt of, you need the tools, skills, and confidence to get customers who really care about and desire what you offer.
This is the place you'll come to listen to advice and debate on business and marketing, as well as how some of the biggest challenges can be overcome.
Welcome back. And this time we're talking about how to find your company values and how to find clients and customers that align with those values. If you can work with clients that are like-minded in the way they operate, in the way their business works, in their general attitude, you can work much better together. It's like a friendship. Like-minded friends will get on better and they'll have the same values and have the same opinions. And so, you know, conversation and decisions on things that people want to do together are easier. And the same applies to business and business relationships.
Yeah. And I think it's specifically important with a service-based business because you're having daily interaction, you know, communicating, talking to those companies. But it does apply with the product business too, because, you know, for a business to have authenticity and, you know, from the way that they communicate to their customers, the way that they market to their customers, the customer service back end, it shouldn't ever feel forced. It should feel natural. And if you're aligned to their values, that will come through in its droves. If you're being false, it will unpick itself somewhere in that journey, generally in a bad way. You know, we have had relationships with companies that didn't align to our values, and it was, we wanted to make things work. We tried our best to sort of see past things that we weren't aligned to, but the relationship was always going to end because we just weren't aligned on some really core things, some sort of non-negotiables. And it doesn't have to be big seismic differences. It can be some subtleties that just, you need to be rooting for each other and want to work together and have real aligned beliefs to have the strongest successes. And the people that we've been working with the longest are aligned. And I get that feeling all the time. And I mean, I've just started working with like a business coach, which has really helped me massively. But he, you know, he said very openly that he doesn't take on anybody that's not aligned to his values because he's got to root for them to win. He's got to look forward to the encounters every week. And that's something we've now put in place. We've, you know, defined what our values are because I've had openly asked people, you know, what is your business's values? Because we need to get the most out of the relationship. We've got to be aligned.
Yeah. You need to like people to want to work with them. And so many times in so many areas throughout my career, I've been involved in business relationships that the values don't align, and it's hard. It makes working together hard. It makes agreeing on decisions hard. And actually, I think we're talking about customers in particular, because you want to find customers and clients that align for your business. But it also applies to providers to you as well, having those alliance. But you know, for instance, one of our core values as a business is respect.
Yeah.
And you would assume that, well, every business should have that as a value. But we've worked with businesses that don't have that as a value, whether they have it internally and it's different externally, but at some level, there's just not. Respect there. Respect isn't a value that they hold in high regard, and the actions and the etiquette reflects that. That makes it really, really difficult for you to do business with them, or for us to do business with someone that doesn't have those values in high regard. You can try and force it, but it almost becomes pointless because it becomes so difficult.
Yeah, and it becomes exhausting because you're not being yourself in those relationships. And it often, in terms of the respect piece, often becomes, you've got to remember when you're working with a business, yes, they're paying you for a service or a product, but you're providing a service or a product. So there should always be a mutual respect. It's, there can very quickly be a, you can slip into it yourself thinking, oh, I must serve, you know, the client. Yes, you're serving them, but you're providing them with excellent value. So it's making sure that there isn't a subservience, as, you know, we pay you, you do what we say.
Mm.
It's making sure that there's an agreement of what we're, you know, then this communication is really important. Mm. That makes sure everyone's agreed on what we should be delivering.
Mm.
And we make sure we exceed that, but always with a level of respect.
I think there's a real tip there that if you are providing a service to someone and they're paying you, there's definitely individuals that will have an opinion that, well, I'm giving you money, so you do what I say. And more apparent than ever, it's often the other way around these days. You know, you are, especially, you know, being respectful in the workplace, being respectful in business and just in general, is more important, I think, than ever to do business. And actually, you could say, oh, hang on a second, I'm doing things for you. I'm doing things to help you. Mm. Yes, you're giving me money, but that's, you know, that's the payment for my great service to you. Realistically, you shouldn't either. Either of you shouldn't have that opinion. Either of you should be both. It's a mutual respect and it's a mutual relationship. You do this, I pay, and we're all happy. You get something, I get something, and everybody wins.
And it's something I've had to learn is, you know, whenever you're working with anybody, we're all equals. Nobody holds one thing over another. You know, I don't, the CEO of Kellogg's is no more important to me when I buy his Frosties. He still has, you know, regardless of scale or title, we're all equals. We all have different positions within our organizations, or whether you're an end customer, we're all equals, and we need to deal with each other with respect.
Mm.
I think that's really, really important. So I thought it'd be really fun this week, just as you get to know us better and we actually get to know each other better. We've learned a lot about each other during these podcasts. We're going to introduce some songs by particular artists and songs that we like, and maybe there's some meaning behind them, may or may not be, but I thought it'd be a nice way to interject in all the marketing goodness with a bit of fun. So here we go. Do you want to go first, your very first song?
Yeah. So I've got three songs from one band. The band's called Foals. One of my favorite bands.
It is a great band. Not a band I know the classic. There are probably some songs here that I don't know of.
Yeah, probably.
I know the sort of the big ones, sort of the anthemic stadium fillers. There'll be some here probably a bit more niche.
Well, they're three quite different songs. And yeah, we'll have a listen and I'll probably be pointing out why I like them so much.
Go for it. Come on. Yeah, now I know.
I don't think there's many other songs that start with such a bang as this one. I just think right off the bat, it just gets going. A lot of the times I listen to a song and if there's a good guitar riff in there, I was like, oh, I want to have a go at that.
Hmm.
You know, and I'll at least attempt it even if I can't play it. So they have a lot of backing vocals as well. I think pretty much, I think it's three band members.
They're just layering themselves.
And actually in a lot of their older stuff, they'll all sing together.
Oh, really?
And you get this kind of chorus feel through. But again, great riffs.
How many people are in the band? You see three?
Three, but there's always a fourth on stage.
They make a bigger sound than three, don't they?
Yeah.
So I do find, as you put it, bands almost given the artistic license by this stage to do things that
they want to do.
They want to do. Like this is you can tell it's a song of like they've loved to create. They're not trying to tap into what works in pop.
Yeah.
They've just created a song that they love.
Yeah.
You can tell.
You start to hear other riffs in the background that they weren't playing before.
There's a cowbell in there.
Yeah.
It's like choosing your favourite child.
Yeah. With Foals, I don't think I could pick one single favourite song.
Wow, really?
In fact, one of my favourites might not even be one of these. It's just that it might be particularly too heavy for this podcast purpose.
Who's that? Yeah, it's a good finish. Nothing worse than a fade out. Mine are slightly different. Some great songs, but there's actually this one, the first one I chose, hasn't got any sentimental value. I just think it's again, like you said, it's when pure it starts.
Yeah.
It can often, like anything, like in marketing, the hook is key. This one's the song that starts, you go, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, here we go.
So yeah, go for it. Oh, there you go, look. And there's a guitarist. Yeah. I mean, love is the law, the seahorse isn't. a great, great band. I guess, I don't know what they do in terms of touring stuff now. I bet they do to a lesser degree though. I mean,
oh, I don't think they're together.
Are they together anymore? I'm not sure.
No, I think the guitarist was John Squire, who was in the Stone Roses, and I think he just does his own things now. I don't know who the lead singer was or anything. But fun fact, talk about guitar.
Hmm.
This was probably the first riff I played on my Epiphone SG electric guitar when I got it for my 40th birthday.
There you go. You know, it's up loud in the car, you're singing it. And harmonize, you can do a little harmony to it. It's full of harmonies.
Yo!
Yeah.
Mid-lays.
I love how there's nothing to this one now. It's virtually just the lyrics at this point. It's when it goes back into the meaty stuff. It's like unashamed. Like I dabbled with my Fender Stratocaster as when I was about, I don't know, must have only been about 16. But I always wanted songs you could just play with too loud so you distorts how good you are. But this is the sort of song that you could just
yeah.
Go for it.
Again, this is a Stone Roses thing. Yeah. Like slow it down, bit of bass, and then you build back up. Oh. What a sound.
It is good, isn't it? It's just really self-indulgent. You can't imagine this was ever written down.
So we're starting to get to a bit of an outro now.
I feel sorry for the drummer at this point. He's been doing the same thing for a while now.
Yeah. Okay. Like but there's still 48 seconds of the track left. Nope, he's still going.
No.
It's still going.
But, yeah. I would argue the last 11 seconds wasn't necessary.
I actually love songs with long outros, you know, like Freebird and Alive by Pearl Jam and that. So this is in my collection of songs with ridiculous outros.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a strong.
Awesome. And as you said, Rob, it's as important for a product as it is for a service. I think service, you see that difference in values very apparently because you're direct dealing with another business or with another individual. When it comes to a product, you're talking about the kind of people that buy your products because they're aligned with your company values. Mm. And your company values don't then come through in the way you speak and you do direct business with people. They actually come through how your business acts as a whole, where... You know, whether it's environmentally focused, whether it's about giving opportunities to lesser able individuals,
sure.
Whether it's products that help to save lives or whether it is something that is luxury, but then again has has traits to it that again aligns with the customer.
Yeah, and I think you have, even in certain industries, you have the core product might be the same. I'm trying to think of an example. I'm always thinking Patagonia is a good example of a brand that they've ethics is that you can buy that similar garment anywhere, but they make it very, very clear and their customer appreciates it. There's ethics at everything they do. Even I mean, I love their repair sort of system. You know, if you buy a product of theirs, you can send it back for repair again and again and again. And there's only a certain sort of person that would want that. Because we live in a very throwaway society. There's all sorts of reasons why that wouldn't work. Mm. But they know that their customer cares about longevity, lack of waste. And they would make more money as an organization selling a new coat or a new, you know, new garment. But they know that the values of the customers, they would have a customer for life if they will repair it for them and give them that value. And there's so many examples of not even car manufacturers. The values, you know, it can be just a feeling that you get from a certain car manufacturer over another. And, you know, effectively, a car is four wheels getting you from A to B. But people will choose, not just based on the functionality, it's the feeling, the values that those brands give. It drives you. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, actually, I said about the, you know, the communication at a higher level, then distilling down to a product and you know, people just generally buying your product because they can see that, you know, the product is built out of values, out of a purpose. Mm. But actually, there is that. There's the customer service piece where you are actually dealing direct with customers. I remember we bought a Lego set for my daughter.
Mm.
And there was a piece scratched. There was like a window and just had a scratch on it. And I went onto Lego and replacement pieces, found the piece because each piece has got a code, you know, found the piece. And they just said, give us your address and we'll send you a new piece. No questions asked. Now, they could have asked for proof of purchase. They could have asked for photos of the existing piece, you know, all these different things. But actually, you know, there's a bigger kind of picture there of like, oh, look, you know, this for the cost of one small piece, you know, just sending out that piece and just keeping the customer happy. There's values there that speaks to the values of Lego. We're not going to be difficult about one little piece. We're gonna you know, let that go.
And there's a bit of a fine line sometimes between values and sort of what your brand stands for, but they often overlap because you know your values don't have to be sentimental and good and value, because some customers won't have those equivalently. You know, there's some brands that will be kind of gratuitously over the top and luxurious and unapologetically unethical, because there's a market for them and a customer that thinks the same way. It's not all about being good, having great values. Some people will lean into the fact that they haven't. They're a bit of a rebel. They're a bit of a rogue. They don't care about certain things, but they'll know there's also a customer out there that they're aligned to that feels the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not, you know, just when we're very similar in the sense, you know, we do like brands that are, you know, have ethical stances and environmental, but maybe that's where we are in our life. If I was a 13-year-old, I'm not thinking of those things. I want someone that's being anti-establishment and causing trouble, and that's okay too. What the important thing is that you know what you stand for and you know how to communicate that through to your customer. And you're not just communicating, you need to live by it. You can tell people you're one thing, but you've also got to make sure you live to those values. You know, anyone can write on the walls, we stand for this, this, and this. You've got to show it and live it and breathe it, and that's the difference.
Yeah. Next song for me?
Yeah, go for it.
So this is Exits by Foals. I don't actually think I said the name of the last song. That was Wake Me Up. You could tell that was it's kind of the main lyric. But this is Exits by Foals. And again, this one is just, it's got a swagger to it. That drum.
I always think the drummer looks like the guy having the most fun in any band.
Yeah. But again, can you just get that sense of layers? There's all sorts, if you listen, there's all sorts going on.
I think that's what separates sort of just music and artistry, isn't it? It's knowing when to stop.
Yeah.
In terms of layer. You can easily go too far, but they've got it absolutely bang on.
Yeah.
I can't get my head around people that will listen on their phone, but not like, through headphones.
I feel so sorry for
the artist. You put so much time into those, like you said, those layers, and it's all completely lost on a weird tinny phone, people on the tube with all the back noise.
These guys are, I feel like they tell stories with some of their songs, you know, musical stories. Here we go. So there's kind of this breakdown now. Here we go. But these are kick out when the bass kicks in. And then the bass kicks in. And it sounds awesome. And I was in the car with my daughter and was listening to this song, and I said, she's 13 and she's into all pop and everything. And I said, just listen to this, turned it up. And when that bass kicked in, I looked across at her and she just smiled, because she's like, yeah, that's kind of cool. That's cool. That sounds cool. And then yours again.
See, this is where I go off piece. So the last song was very much, just love the song. I actually added another element. Maybe I misunderstood the brief. But actually songs that I like, but are they hooked to a memory? Which is often things why you do like have favourites, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I had some real cheesy nonsense I wouldn't subject you to.
Yeah.
In terms of memories. But yeah, this is you start playing it.
I think you've considered the audience here. Well, okay. Well, me at least.
I mean, Sonnet by The Verve is a brilliant song. Again, maybe it's going. Just it's so calming, and you can listen to it almost on repeat, almost as like, you know, lo-fi music so popular now. It's one of those songs you can say, it's so unoffensive. Oh, it's a great song. Sorry, lost track.
It's just a little bit of a change of tone.
Yeah,
when this kicks off, it gets a little bit more less kind of chill and relaxed and just a little bit more intense, but not too much.
Mm. Yeah, I love it. But so I was doing my A-level geography coursework, and it got to the point where it was actually pretty much this song on repeat, because I was just had to get into a flow kind of state with my work, because I left it all to the last minute, which don't do. Don't encourage that at all. But this song is sort of burning into my brain. It wasn't even a nice memory in lots of ways, because I knew that I shouldn't have been up all night, but it just calmed me down.
Yeah.
Got me in a place where it's nothing worse than silence when you're in a stress place. It just calmed me completely down.
It gets more and more intense as it goes on as well.
It's almost quite, there's some sort of desperation in his voice, which I like, which I think is what you've got to appreciate.
We're definitely showing that we're of an age.
1997
with some of these songs.
Wow. Yeah, I can hear this. And again, the song, Hammer said something about it, it would start again and I wouldn't go, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah.
I was just in a zone.
Yeah.
It was the lo-fi beats of its day for me. Yeah. Not sure I can always condone a fade. But maybe the nature of the song, it gets away with it.
Yeah, it works. It works. So how do you set your actual values? Well, you should, as a start, be clear on your purpose as a business. And the purpose of the business should have driven your product or service to begin with. So there's an insight straight away into the reasons why your business exists and what you're in this world to do. Your purpose will give you an insight into what the values are, because the purpose was created with values in mind. If it's to solve a problem with, and we're going back to kind of the you know, eco-friendly or good in this world type thing. But if your purpose was to eliminate some waste on something, that would be the trigger for the product creation or the trigger for the service creation. Again, straight away, you've got some insights into your values. Equally, if you're producing huge gas-guzzling monster trucks or something like that, there'll be a reason that there'll be a motivator for the creation of that, you know? And even if you're working within a business and you're not a business owner, you can find the insight into that. Why was the business started? What was the reason behind? What was the trigger that made the business into existence? What's the purpose for it? And then the insights into what those values are. So that's when it comes down to actually why you're doing what you're doing. I think then it's about how does the business operate?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that you can see the businesses that win in life generally had a purpose. And it should be like one line almost that, you know, it's probably no coincidence that I think back to the sort of clients that we've had for the longest are actually people that sell life-saving products, because we always find it far better from a marketing stance to think of every sale as another life protected. And nobody starts a company with life-saving credentials to make money. I mean, it's always a byproduct of doing a good piece of business. But if you can set up a business with values in the first place, it gives you a why, it gives you a reason to be. And then, like you said, you can then form operationally and within your business the values you want to abide by to make sure that you're creating something that you care about, somewhere where people like to come and work. And you can make sure you're bringing in the type of customers that align to those.
Yeah. I think also, aside from all that, I do think there's a few values that really should be no-brainers.
Mm.
And like I say, amazingly, they aren't for some businesses, like respect.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of our values as a business is excellence.
Yeah, that'd be a given, wouldn't you?
You would just assume that everybody wants to do the best that they can do throughout the business. But I've equally had interactions with other businesses that are quite, you know, you can see that their policy is no, there's no give. There's, you know, it's hard fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't fall within the criteria for getting this kind of service or something. So we're not going to even speak to you, you know, and I've seen that kind of thing. I know we're talking about customer service again there,
mm-hmm.
But I've seen that kind of behavior as well. And I've almost gone that's in the business. That's a process there. Then that's been made, that decision's been made. This is how we behave. This is how we act. This is our values. But that might be a budget brand. And so that, again, that might be a conscious decision because, well, actually, the kind of customers
the margin with, doesn't allow
don't get it. That level of service because they're not those kind of, you know, that could have been a decision there, or it could be bad communication of better values through to that department or through the processes. And that's the real reason why you should be so clear on your values and communicating that through your business.
I say even, you know, there's some pilot high seller cheap fashion brands, but they're quite clear that, you know, they're not selling these garments to last a lifetime. They know that it's a garment that'd be good for one, you know, whim of fashion and it's gone again. And they're not going to spend the money that someone who's going to buy, I use that Patagonia example, they're not going to spend hundreds of pounds on a garment because it's good. They want to wear it once. There's a certain type of person that doesn't want to wear the same dress twice. So they're not going to pay for something that's going to last them a lifetime, be repaired. And they're very sort of unapologetic.
Mm.
And that's fine.
Mm.
As long as you're aligned with what your customer wants. Mm. And there's, you know, and the price point is also a really obvious benchmark of value. You know, obviously monetary value, but you can tell the care that's gone into something. You can't make money on something that's throwaway. You can't, the margins are too small. So therefore you're going to have to accept that that isn't what you stand for. If you want, and equally like the whole get rich quick kind of mantras in business, you have to compensate somewhere. You're not, good customer service costs money because you're going to have well-trained staff, good logistics, you know, next day delivery. I mean, it's where the likes of Amazon have got it. They've kind of won because they really thought about what their customer wanted and it was choice and convenience. And their customer service is exceptional. You know, they refund your money before you've set, as long as you've said, I'm now sending this back, they refund you the money then. I think, you know, Amazon is a great example of they understood the wants of their customers, the values of their customers, and they over-delivered at every stage. And there's no coincidence that they are the behemoth that they are. And they don't let their standard drop. You think, you know, the scale they are, they can start to be, you know, they can have longer delivery times and they can be, you know, charge more. They'll always be the most competitively priced. They'll deliver things at the most convenience. They'll make returns incredibly easy. They know that's what their customer wants. And it's hard for people to match that.
I think going back to your point on the fast fashion, so to speak, again, in a couple of brands come to mind when you mention that. And there's case in point where they have absolutely position themselves and communicated with a particular market and a particular audience, and that audience knows full well what they're buying. They know full well the company that they're dealing with and what they're buying into, and they're okay with that. And so they've actually communicated, regardless of what the values are, they've communicated them really, really well.
I'm trying to think of another example. There was a subscription beer company that I had a really bad experience with because I think they thought the customer just wanted good quality beer and the beer they sold was good, but their delivery was awful. The customer service was terrible. And there's a whole communities talking about them, and it did, the product was good. You know, when they finally got the product, I enjoyed the beer, but would I go back to work with them again? Absolutely not. They continued to market to me for more beer, missing the point that deliver the beer that I've actually ordered and paid for. Be apologetic. I mean, again, there's a certain, you know, there's respect, but there's equally understanding when you've made a mistake, and articulating that is it's a value in itself. To be humble, you know, that's something we often talk about. But to get that so wrong, and they continue to, you know, ironically, I still get emails today. I still get texts, although I've unsubscribed from them. They clearly want to sell beer, not look after their customers. And I will now go elsewhere. And it's a shame because I thought from the outset, again, this goes back to that part of, if you look at their website, the communication was lovely at the very beginning, but they didn't deliver against those values. So you can say you mean one thing, but you've got to deliver against it, or you're going to let everybody down and you'll lose customers. And customers in this day and age, they talk. You know, there are forums set up for businesses, for people to attack or support. And you want to be in the support line, but that's about delivering against your values.
Okay, so final one, still sticking with Foals. Final one for me, called Spanish Sahara by Foals. And so this is really subtle and really quiet. But again, one of those songs that builds up. and layers up.
Again, one that you really want in a great set of headphones just to indulge in the tone of what it's trying to achieve and the place it takes you.
And you'll feel that more as the track builds as well. 2 minutes into the song and the drums has just kicked in.
It shows a confidence in your songwriting, doesn't it?
Yeah. And knowing when to pair it back, like you said about how far do you build and then stop, actually, how far do you strip it back? And now it's fully kicked off.
Funny, now we have four minutes, 15 seconds in, and the song's only really started.
Yeah, well, it builds even more as it goes out. This is like the solo part. So you're full on now. You can imagine, you know, with headphones on or in the car or something with this turned off.
I feel like this would be one of those incredible songs if you were at not that I'm a big festival goer, but, you know, sun's setting, everyone's in a really good space, and this is just getting everyone in a real vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know the message behind it. I probably should. But it feels intense. It feels really emotional.
I feel like we live in an age now where no one has any patience for anything. Like, everything has to be instant gratification, whereas this song has built that gratification over 6 minutes. Normally people have, you know, like a 3-second window of the content they consume to really get the buzz they need and the move. I mean, you think of the TikTok scrolly world that we live in, this song wouldn't have made it in terms of TikTok virality, because you've got like 0.8 of a second to get someone.
I just think it's almost like a masterpiece for me. I just think that is fantastic.
No, I agree. So you've got A Glorious Day by Embrace, which I think is a beautiful song in its own right. I love his voice, for one. I love piano in anything. Such a pretty song. But the reason it sits with me is I listened to this song to warm myself up the courage to propose to Jenny.
Yeah.
I was trying to, you know, I'd carried this ring around Thailand and we were on this holiday and I thought, I'm going to do it. But I had to, like, I don't know, I had to get myself the oomph. So this, little did she know, I had this under the towel. We were laying on a beach in a small island called Koh Jum. And it just sounds like, to me, the lyrics about Jenny. I just remember having Embrace on my iPod shuffle as it was. And this came on, I thought, oh yeah, this is the moment to do it.
Oh, yeah, really kicked off now. It's pure feel good.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it, this song? Does it kick back off again?
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
You can't help going,
you know it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost no nonsense in a way. As in, like, we're not gonna have effects and all sorts. We're gonna have guitar, piano, drums, you know, vocals and bass.
I think they knew what they were doing in terms of the lyrics. It could be anything to anyone.
Yeah.
I listened to it and I put it into my perspective. It could be about a loved one you've lost. It could be anything.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Fix You for Coldplay.
Mm, yes. It's just a nice.
Even the end, just like.
Just a nice.
Paired back. Song. Gorgeous.
Was that it? She said yes, and that was that.
Yay. So why do businesses have the wrong values, or why do they disappoint or do a bad job or behave a certain way? A lot of the time, it's not intentional. A lot of the time, people do set out to do a good job. I don't believe that people genuinely think I'm going to do a bad job on this. I think it's a good idea to underperform or disappoint. And again, this is as individuals or as a business. A lot of the time, even if there's a semi-intention of I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to do a bad job or something, it's usually driven by something else, whether that's a lack of process, whether that's just a bad culture. There's usually something underneath. So in your beer company example, that says to me, well, hang on, there's a process problem there. Mm. You know, there's a great front end with the marketing and the messaging and the product as well, but there's actually a poor follow through. Mm. There's maybe lack of bandwidth, poor organization, or communication within the business that then follows through. They haven't got the right customer service in process. Mm. You know, it's very easy to go, oh, these guys are just, they set out to rip me off.
I don't think anybody,
and more often than not, that's actually not the case. No. People generally want to do, because it's going to be a losing game if you're going to just rip people off all the time. I think even just coming to mind is the old Blockbuster, you know, their whole Blockbuster video rentals, their whole model, I think they kind of self-admitted was the disappointment management, where, you know, late fees and expensive snacks and not getting the movie that you wanted was actually the way they made money. And they grew huge. They were massive, but it came to bite them ultimately, you know. Considering that they had the opportunity to kind of buy Netflix or work with Netflix. But you know, it ultimately failed because someone came along and said, well, actually, you know, we'll do a better job. But again, to be fair, when you rented for Blockbuster, you knew what you're going in for. You knew you probably weren't going to get the movie you wanted. You knew you were going to pay over the odds for some snacks. And you kind of accepted that.
I think you're right. I think it's a really important point, actually, that nobody sets out to do a bad job. I believe so. But you fail along the way. But that's where honesty comes in. If my very first customer service interaction with that beer company was, I'm sorry, we've messed up. We've oversold. We haven't got the product today. You know, it might take 3 months. It's about
communication. We always talk about communication.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to name the company because that would be unfair. But I spoke to the same customer service girl each time, which made me assume there probably was only poor one girl in that building dealing with hordes of people. And it was a Christmas gift, so there was a time critical part that they kind of couldn't be late. But again, just be open and honest.
Yeah,
I would have accepted their apology. I'd have moved on, and that's that. But I think that's communication of those values is really important, because you can make mistakes, just communicate them clearly, and people will forgive. If again, that's a value of respect again. They didn't respect me as a customer. I felt hard done by. I got increasingly frustrated with no communication. And, you know, even if they felt at the beginning they had the same values as me, by the end, I'd lost that. And they lost me as a customer. And that should be true for everyone.
I don't think the business exists anymore.
No, I think it does.
They were just bought out by, or their stock was bought by another beer subscription company. So there you go. There's case in point.
Exactly.
So when you've got your values and you're working with another business, and certainly when you're sending products to customers, you're not going to get exact alignment between your values. But that's okay. There are some non-negotiables within business relationships that in order to be able to do business with someone else, you need to be aligned in the way you work and the way you think and the way that that you communicate with each other.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of the basics that I personally believe that every person should. And you know, we always come back to, again, it's respect. It's having manners. It's being humble when you've made a mistake. It's saying thank you when you've appreciated something. I mean, for me, they're non-negotiables. But you're never going to find people that are exactly the same as you. If you do, you win. I mean, there's people we've worked with I must be talking maybe 7-8 years, because we completely align. There's a respect that we don't even need to communicate very often, because they respect me, I respect them. They trust the work that we do. We deliver every time. It's very, very easy. But it's not always going to be the case. And you will have to work with people that aren't completely aligned to you, but there are some non-negotiables that you should stick to. And it's not something I'd really considered before, but there's a terminology of knowing when to sack your customers. It sounds mad, doesn't it? Sacking a customer, but they won't give you what you want long-term. Forgetting the financial returns, they're not going to give to you in terms of your purpose and your why you get up every morning to do your work. And knowing when to say, to walk away from someone is as powerful as when to bring. So we sort of talk about offboarding customers sometimes as well as onboarding, because it's very important in the onboarding process that you have these conversations. You ask certain questions. You don't ask specifically sometimes, but you can probe and you can see the way that their team behave and so on and so on. And you get that real feel. But equally, it's very important to communicate on the way out as well if you do decide to go the other way from a customer. And, you know, it's very important, the whole end of the journey, it's important for them to understand why you're not aligned. And it applies to product and to services. You know, we are a service business, so we lean into the service and we'll be thinking. But there are brands that won't sell products to certain types of people because it's not aligned to their vision and their brands. They don't want certain people driving their cars. They don't want certain people wearing their clothes because they know what they've set up to do and what brands their brand means. And they would see that it goes against their ethics to see a certain person, a certain, even like nationality. If there's, there's certain instances where, you know, you look at, this is going really high. If you look at like weapons trade and all sorts of things, you know, if you're selling weapons to a certain country to protect them, so you could look at what's going on in the world at the moment, you might support Ukraine with weapons, but you wouldn't then support the other side of that bar. You wouldn't then sell the same weapons to Russia in this instance that you don't feel. And it goes up to that sort of level. You know, the business is business. It gets bigger and it gets smaller. It gets values. Equally, some people would close, you know, people politely ask certain customers to leave their restaurant because of the way they're behaving inside, because they're not aligned to their values. It goes from the smallest transaction to the biggest. And where you win is by being true to those values. And being brave sometimes to speak out when people don't.
And remember that the reason that it's the right thing to do to say goodbye to a customer is usually because the time that you're spending trying to maintain a broken relationship or a relationship doesn't work is cost consuming because it's time and time is money, especially in a service business when you're working for certain hours for a client and, you know, that's the basis that you're potentially paid on. The more time you spend, the more money it costs you, the more it erodes your margin than when you make from that client. So keeping that client on board, even if they're a big client, could actually be a false economy.
Yeah, and it's also the detriment of your clients or customers that do align.
Yeah.
You know, there's that part to consider as well. So
yeah, why should the difficult customer get more time than the easy customer?
Yeah,
we've asked that question before. We've made sure that we've kind of reset those timescales.
So the values and what you mean as a business and how you align with your customers are generally driven from the top, from the founders, from the boardroom, whatever they might be. But it's really important that your internal teams, of course, aware, but they're very much aligned themselves. And I personally believe it should be a big part of your recruitment process is alignment of the team, because you could have somebody that's brilliant at their role, but you know that they won't be able to deliver the values that you have as your organization, and where they wouldn't reflect that in those interactions they have. You could, I mean, whether you're, say you're a product business, and we said again, there's a customer service element to that business. I believe that customer service people deserve all the praise in the world. They're generally not the best paid roles in a business, but they're at the coalface. They're dealing with happy customers, but predominantly unhappy ones. To have someone that is empathetic, understanding, calm, you know, if that's the sort of business you want to be, is critical. By getting the, you know, the cheaper, you know, the real, you know, say a cheap member of staff, the cheapest you could afford, you think, oh, I don't care. They're just dealing with the customers that aren't happy. We'll focus on the ones that are. You're going to have a really sticky situation where they're going to be unpleasant to your customers. They may be ignored. Maybe they won't even answer the phone. So there's making sure your team are aligned. And equally, there's an internal dynamic within your team. You might have, say, 10 people working internally that are all on the same mission as you. They know what you're trying to achieve, how you'll do it, how to communicate with one another. Bring in one rotten apple, it can break the whole thing. And I mean, there are certain people that vocalize it very much on the likes of on TikTok, and Gary Vee is one of them. I think I've mentioned it before. He says, if you see traits in somebody that don't align to your team and your culture, he said, sack them there and then. Like, he's more brutal than I would be.
he is,
but equally.
But he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. You know, he's got the confidence to make decisions very quickly. So, and you've got to remember that your team are really, if you're running a business, your team are your business. It doesn't matter what you think. If you're sat in a boardroom or wherever you might be, you know, the size of your business, it's the team that you create beneath you that live and breathe your brand. get that wrong and it can go seismically wrong very quickly.
Well, as you grow as well, you, if you are a founder or a senior member of the team, and as your business grows, you get further and further away from those customers.
That's a good point.
And get a bigger disconnect and a lesser sense of certainty that those values are running through your business and being communicated and acted upon properly.
So we hope you found some of that interesting. You know, these is a topic that means a lot to me. It's something that we talk about a lot. So we maybe talk longer and more in depth than we have on other topics, but hopefully there's some value in there. And let us know what your personal and business values are and how you display them in your business. And as always, like and subscribe. Make sure you're watching this on all platforms. Tell everyone else about it because there's some good stuff in there. I think you get some great value. And as always, we'll see you next time.
Bye.